privilege to be with you today. I feel it is an honor to be with you, and I would like to also acknowledge members of our research team, of which we have one over here, Jeanette Johnson, and also we do have Louis Kim and Melissa Sabe, as well as Stephanie Hyatt. So for this particular presentation, we would like to focus on five main areas. And these are, in terms of background and significance, what do we want to understand better? And how do we do it? What did we find? What are the stories behind the numbers? And what were the lessons that we have learned? So there are so many monitors flashing out there in the hallways. And it is actually flashing the conference theme, the one-word conference theme. Anyone who remembers the conference theme and can shout it out for us? Before I get bodily checked out here, if I go beyond 15 minutes. Do you remember? Starts with an H. Helpography, yes, helpography. So in other words, location, location, location. So if Dr. Frieden from CDC was here today, he would have actually joined the course and he would have said, how long we live actually depends not on our genetic code, but also on our zip code. So where does this where do these factors in social determinants of health fit in? According to John Glass, who authored the Dictionary of Epidemiology, he did mention that this is actually a scale above that of the primary level of prevention. And that is the primordial level of prevention, wherein the aim is to inhibit the emergence and establishment of various risk factors that increase the risk for disease, such as environmental, economic, social, behavioral, including cultural patterns of living. So if we look at the social determinants of health, according to the definition of the World Health Organization, there are actually three major words that we could remember. And these are conditions, distribution, as well as health inequities. Conditions really are where we were born, live, work, and play. And these are actually shaped by the distribution of power, money, and resources, which then lead to health inequities. Now, two additional words that we could remember. These differences in health outcomes within and between countries are actually unfair, and they are avoidable. And social determinants of health concept is actually best known for its most popular moniker, Causes of the Causes, as popularized by Sir Michael Marmot. It is a result of how we have organized our affairs in the country or in society. Sir Michael Marmot, together with his team, actually developed six policies, which we call Marmot Six, or Marmot Policy Objectives. And they started out with that of the family, meaning giving every child the best start in life. So if we are to go, if we are going to start at the dawn of life, we couldn't start with children unless we involve the families. And so we have major health organizations such as the Pan-American Health Organization, or PAHO, WHO, and even UNICEF supporting key family practices. These are 16 evidence-based behaviors that are critical for the health of the children as well as that of the family. And these 16 are divided into four main areas known to actually be important for children's health. These are physical growth and development, preventing diseases, appropriate home care, identifying early signs and symptoms of disease so that parents can take their children to their nearest health care. So those 16 key family health practices are actually collapsed into seven. And those seven include, first of all, breastfeeding exclusively for the first 6 months, having children sleep under insecticide-treated nets. The next two being recognizing when children actually need treatment outside of the home. And of course, giving them more fluids when they are sick, particularly in terms of diarrhea. The last three are washing hands with soap, providing children with preventative health care, such as giving them a full course of immunizations, and of course, introducing other nutritious foods to children after 6 months of age. So what do we want to understand better? We here as public health practitioners, also professionals in various sectors, understand the social determinants of health. But how does that health concept translate in resource challenged settings? So this is why we have two major research questions. The first of which is, how commonly are these key family health practices observed in communities who are actually socioeconomically challenged. Second, how is the practice of this key family health practices facilitated or hindered by social factors? So we focus our study in Uganda, otherwise known as the Pearl of Africa. Now, to take your attention here, Uganda actually has a life expectancy that is 24 years shorter than that of the United States. In fact, if you could see over there, their males are actually expected to live about 56 years of age, and females are about 58 years of age. And this even dipped further in the most recent statistics, going into 53 for males and 56 years for females. They have a very young population, about 16 years of age. So our study area is actually about 38 minutes from the capital city of Kampala. And so we did our study here in Lugasi, which is in the Buikwe district in central region of Uganda. So how did we do it? We actually administered household surveys, and those surveys were primarily based on the 2011 Uganda Health Demographic Survey, which was administered by the Bureau of Statistics in Uganda. And then we added some social determinants of health questions, including those coming from studies done by RWJF or the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. And then we also did in-depth interviews for every third or fourth household. And we did a triangulation of data based on Creswell's mixed methods analysis. We did descriptive and qualitative analysis, and looking at the data, the qualitative data, to actually help inform our quantitative results. So we went through gatekeepers in the community. So who are those gatekeepers? We saw the approval of the mayor of the town, and we also had the help of the women's group in Uganda. And you can see them over here. They are our survey facilitators. They also help translate and transcribe the data for us, especially that of the in-depth interviews. So we did pre-testing and training of the survey, and of course, the administering of household surveys, as you can see over here, and of course, listening and recording people's voices, thoughts and feelings, so that the data could be culturally contextualized. What did we find? So most of our respondents come from these five villages in Lugazi, Uganda. Geri Geri Kinyoro up there is the most socioeconomically depressed village, although most of our respondents come here from Lugazi town itself, otherwise known as Kololo. So what is the SDH, or social determinants of health profile, of our respondents? Most of our respondents are females. They are about 31 years of age, they are married, and about 33% of them self-reported being the lone decision maker for health in their family. However, 35% mentioned that they are actually joint decision makers with their spouses or partners. If you look at the text here on your left side, we could see that a lot of these respondents barely had some schooling. Although 71% have finished about 12 years of school, most of them really finish about 7 to 8 years of schooling. And they're always worried about having a stable job or income. And if you look at the percentage of people who own houses, 45% of our respondents do not own their house. More than 80%, or about 80%, don't have farms, livestock, bicycles, cars, not even a business to support themselves. 53% don't have electricity, 73% no running water, yet 93% have toilets. And look at this one. Though they don't own homes, 83% have cell phones and radios. In terms of access to health, more than half can walk to the nearest clinic, and 35% actually can ride the boda-boda, or the motorcycle, to the nearest clinic. So what did they find, what did they report to be the major health challenges in their home? For these people, any increase in temperature is malaria, based on their report. So we have malaria, fever, cough, and then flu. So both of these actually correspond with what the Uganda Demographic Health Survey found, except that they actually didn't report diarrhea over here. So in terms of key family health practices, we would like to focus on four family practices for this presentation.
So when asked, do you follow this health practice at home, we have 23% reported following 9 out of the 16 key family health practices supported by UNICEF, of which if you could see down here, looking at the essentials, almost all of these essentials are being followed, except for 2, that is giving oral rehydration solution for diarrhea, and then 41% bringing children to clinic at first sign of illness. Those are actually 2 areas could be improved. Now, when asked, if you have used or are currently using a family practice method to delay or avoid being pregnant, where did you learn about it? Most reported learning it from the government hospital, and that is understandable, as a lot of these family health planning practices have the support of the government. And when asked which family practice method are you following, most of them actually reported breastfeeding, and then the second and third are injectables and condoms. When asked what are you doing in terms of preventing malaria, most actually reported having insecticide-treated nets as a major malaria-reducing behavior. And when asked what do you usually do at home to protect yourself and your children from diarrheal diseases, most of them report drinking clean water or having clean water, and also focusing on hygiene and sanitation. Interestingly, a lot of these respondents focus on hygiene and even attributing a lot of the diseases to having dust around the community. So what are the stories behind the numbers? So this is our respondents with their copies of their key family health practices. And when asked, what do they think about what really affects the health of their communities? So when asked, what is the number one reason that would help you live healthy lives for your family and for the community? The number one reason for their number one factor is that sale of income, followed by jobs or employment. And then when asked, who has the most responsibility for health at the individual level, at the family level? For both of those questions, their major response was that of the individual and the family. When asked who is responsible for health at the community level, interestingly, there was kind of a change there in the percentages. Number one is individual, followed by community, including policymakers, as well as other health agencies. Now, in terms of perceptions for social determinants of health, when asked, in a Likert scale, do you have a duty to keep yourselves healthy? There was a resounding yes for all of these perceptions on the social determinants of health. Interestingly, including the concept of being healthy or taking actions to be healthy even before going to the hospital. Are neighborhoods and jobs hazardous to health? Yes, they believe that the neighborhoods and jobs should not be hazardous to health. And then when asked about government policies being important in promoting, preventing and improving health, there was a resounding yes. So was it with, in improving health, what is pretty much the role of the social factors? And they said yes in that the social factors do influence health itself. And lastly, when asked, a healthy economy needs a healthy population, there was another resounding yes on that one. Okay, before we go to the key takeaways, I'd like to actually have one of my research team members actually talk a little bit about what we have learned.
Hi, my name is Lewis. And we have found out that family does really matter in terms of, you know, seeing their mothers do it. Their woman's empowerment greatly affects, you know, health outcomes. And also, we also talked about and found out that the spirituality of faith really brings family together, and that can be contributed to, you know, positive key practices in the future and in the long run. And also, HTS profile and perception. It's not about income, job, or environment, but it's really social factors that proceed to live in family capacity after health. And health messaging, mothers, the radio, and cell phones. And we found out that people want to have cell phones than TV, and they're registered partners of health. They want to know and have the information
running from them.
And policy and policymaker matters, and let's go upstream, not downstream, and the answers to health problems go beyond our health sectors right now.
Those were the key points that we have learned, and we would like to actually close with this quote from Chip Seattle, where he said, "Humankind is not woven the web of life. We are but one thread within it. So whatever we do to the web, we do to ourselves. All things are bound together. All things connect." Thank you so much.
Thank you.